I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight, and it's really great to see Adam back, and I think he continues to need our prayers, so pray for his recovery from the accident, and he looks like he's very sore. So, before we get started on the lesson tonight, I want to sing a song. Now, this is a song you commonly hear at camp or at VBS, so I want everybody to participate in this song, because you will all know it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. My wife doesn't seem to think I had the mic on. But. Oh, well, okay. So, from this song, you might be able to figure out what the topic is. It's joy. This is a sermon I gave quite a few years ago. And just want to talk about how important joy is. We can see from that song. And by the way, that song is not just for the little guys and girls. It's for all of us. Because when we look at just that verse we sang, it talks about joy, 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 because Jesus is in their heart. And hopefully for all Christians, you have that joy of Jesus in your heart. And so when I decided which lesson I was going to do, of course, I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare when I found out I was going to Chicago anyhow. But in any case, I had an idea that I probably would have to do it because I didn't think that from the sounds of it that Adam was going to be preaching today. But when we think about joy, we know that this is a quality that God wants to see in us and we should all possess as a Christian. Simply because, again, we have Jesus in our heart. And when we think about trying to lead people to Christ, those that are lost, if we don't express that joy in our life of being a Christian, probably not too many people are going to want to listen to us. And when we, if we act like Oscar the Grouch, then again, if we have that kind of perception to people, then I don't think people want to listen to us either. Now, we know that there are going to be struggles in our lives, in everyone's lives. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're going to have struggles throughout your life. And those that have the proper perspective, though, that have Jesus in their heart, has that joy in their heart, they're going to be able to better deal with those struggles. But sometimes it can be a challenge. Now, we can look at John 16:33 to see what Jesus said about joy. John 16:33 reads, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So it's Jesus's and God's desire that we have joy. And even though we are confronted with these difficulties that we face from day to day, we can still have that joy in Jesus to lean on. John 17:13. Again, we have Jesus talking here. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So Jesus says that he possesses joy, and he wants us to possess that same kind of joy as Christians. And when Jesus talks about the joy he has, he's not talking about the joy he had when he was in heaven. And of course, when we all get there, it's going to be unbelievable joy. But he was referring to the joy he had while living on this earth, even though he faced all those trials and tribulations that he did. And when we think about Jesus while on this earth, he was that shining light to others. They could see God in him, or at least most of them could. There were too many that couldn't. But he was able to instill, with the way he treated people, that joy that these people needed as Christians. But Jesus did suffer much sorrow. And we can go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Of course, here prophesying about the coming Messiah. And it says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet he considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So Jesus suffered all this, but still had joy. Hard to imagine that he, all the things he had to go through, especially in those last few days, that he still had joy in his heart. Let's turn to Paul. We know Paul, especially in Philippians, talked a lot about joy. But first, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 10. And here Paul is talking from his heart. He says, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything." So even though he had, if you look at all these things, rejoicing, or sorrowful but always rejoicing, he had Jesus in his heart. Poor, yet making many rich. Of course, making many rich and accepting Jesus as their Savior. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. He had Jesus. And we can look at Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, we know all the hardships that Paul went through. The shipwreck, 3 shipwrecks. He was beaten 3 times. He was stoned nearly to death. He had so many, I'm leaving some things out, but he had so many things happen to him. While he had accepted, knew that Christ was his Savior, had accepted him as his Savior, yet he, with all those things that happened, he didn't turn his back on God. He didn't turn his back on Jesus because he had that joy. He had that peace, as he talks about here in verse 7, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that if we allow Jesus into our heart, we're going to have that peace. If not, we won't. And we can also see Paul's sorrows in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3, which reads, "I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race." So though Paul felt the great sorrow, he was a man of great joy, as we found in Philippians 4. And we cannot have the same joy of Jesus unless we suffer. like they did. And we will. And we have. But we can't let our worldly life here get us down when things are not going good. Because if we have Jesus truly in our heart, we're going to be able to keep our focus on God and Jesus and not let these burdens that we have to bear at times overcome us. Jesus, we know, longed for, as I've already mentioned, for everyone to have this joy and to be complete. And why did Jesus want us to have that joy in our heart? Pretty simple. Because he loved us. It's just like us, I hope. We want our spouses to be joyful. We want our children to be joyful, grandkids, whatever it may be, because we love them. And it's the same thing for Jesus. He loved us so much, he wants us to have that joy. He wants us to be happy, just like we want our families to be happy and our friends. You know, another reason Jesus wants us to have this joy is because, let's just think about it for a second. If we have that joy in our heart and we're tempted, we're going to be able to have a better chance of overcoming that temptation, because we will have this in our heart. We will be focusing on him, and many times we'll overcome that temptation. But unfortunately, sometimes we give in to the temptation, we sin. But with that hope that we have, with that love and joy that we have with Jesus, it gives us a better shot at overcoming those temptations. And we know that, as an example, I'm sure you've heard this before, if we're sitting in a room that's well lit like this, it's going to be hard for the darkness, or matter of fact, it's going to be impossible for the darkness to overcome the light. And of course, we're going to look at the light as being good and the dark as being not good. And it's going to be, but if those lights go out, there's a blackout, then we might have problems. But hopefully in our lives, we don't have that blackout where Satan is going to overcome the way that we should be living our lives. Jesus wants us to have this joy in our hearts because he wants us to be able to bring lost souls to Jesus. And if we have that love in our heart, we will have a better shot. But if we don't, if we're not joyous about our Christian walk, then our chances of leading anyone to Jesus is going to be slim. So how do we get this possession of the joy that Jesus wants us to have? Well, the primary way is confidence in God. Even when Jesus hung on that cross, he had confidence in his Father. Even when he was praying in the garden right before he was betrayed and captured, yeah, he did ask God, if there's any way I can take this cup away from me, please do. But how did he end that? How did he end that? Not my will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And when we hear that, that tells us he had all the confidence in the world that God was going to take care of everything. We need to have the same confidence. We need to have the same confidence that God is going to be with us. He's going to help us through any and everything. Yes. And he's not going to give us too much of a burden that we can't bear and overcome. Amen. When we trust in God, passages like Romans 8:28 will bring us great joy. Just to briefly read that. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. What's another way we can gain this possession of joy? Well, simply by thinking about Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So here we have Peter telling us that even though we can't see Jesus in the flesh, we can see Him through our faith. Even though we can't hear Jesus, we can in our minds by studying His Word, by studying the Word. So thinking about Jesus can bring us great joy. He suffered so much for us because He loved us. He is willing to die on that cross for us. He suffered to give us a hope of heaven for eternity. How else can we gain this possession of joy of Jesus? In Christian fellowship. You know, the New Testament is loaded with all kinds of examples of fellowship. And hopefully right now you feel good being around fellow Christians. And it should fill us with joy to be able to join with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be free of the distractions of the world. And being able here to worship. But of course, we can have fellowship with one another in another setting too. Out in the world, but not of the world, hopefully. Philemon 7 says, your love is giving me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Here we have Paul talking about the work that Philemon was doing for the church and how he was dealing with things, and he knew that he was refreshed by Philemon's care for the saints. It must never be forgotten that one of the greatest evangelizing tools we have, it is the sight of Christians working together, doing God's will. But probably the worst thing that can happen is when we have a congregation of the church that's doing just the opposite. To see Christian fellowship is great. The things we've done here, worshiping together, the great giveaway, giving out the Thanksgiving baskets, all those things. But it's better to be a part of it. And of course, knowing this, this should be a major motivating factor for us to attend services. Not just Sunday morning. All you have to do is give up 4 hours a week to come worship. Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday morning worship. Wednesday, Sunday night, and then Wednesday Bible study. So when we get together as fellow Christians, it should build you up, and hopefully it does. And as I think I mentioned this already, another way that we can gain this possession of the joy that Christ has is leading lost souls to Jesus. And hopefully, with the seminar we had with Doug, and seeing the different areas that we have are scoring high in, maybe that will help get people more involved in doing the work of soul winning. Or any other area of that needs to be done in the church. And we know that, I don't know if any of you I do know that many of you have led people to Jesus. But it's a great feeling, isn't it? And we know that in Luke 15, in verses 3 through 7, it talks about just one soul. There's joy in heaven when one soul is brought to Christ. So I hope that everyone here has the joy of Jesus in their heart. I hope that we can use that to do great works here at Lakeside, and also to help lead those who are lost in sin to Jesus, and also to grow ourselves as Christians. So thanks for your attention. At this time, we offer the invitation for those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior. If you need to come forward, please do when we sing the song of invitation. And also for those Christians that need our prayers for any reason, you need to come forward. Please do so as we stand in